Hello and welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. My name is Phil Harvey. I am an editor here at Light Reading.
And I'm Sharon Bois, and I'm Division Vice President for Product Line Management and Marketing with Corning's Optical Fiber and Cable Division.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Happy to be here.
That was quite a long title.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I agree. I keep trying to get it shortened, but no luck yet.
You know, Vice President of Stuff.
Exactly.
Well, this is good because we a lot of the conversations I've had, we're recording this for listeners. We're recording this at OFC 2024 in San Diego. So you'll hear some background noise. We'll hear people coming and going. We're in an interview room, but the doors are open and people have work to do. So we'll have a bit of background noise. But a lot of the conversations I've had at the show so far have had to do with the kind of a lot of excitement around the new bandwidth demands on network operators and, by extension, the components manufacturers and the systems vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So AI is driving some of this and
yep,
an increasingly larger portion. How will these bandwidth demands, how are they changing the design of optical fiber and cable? Maybe that's too broad an area, but we could start with are today's cables changing to match these new requirements?
So I think the simple answer is yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into a little more of that. But, it's fascinating. It's exciting to be on the show floor and see how much things have changed. 50 plus years ago, Corning invented the first low loss optical fiber.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that any of us would have imagined it would turn into this, with communications being so critical to so many parts of our lives. And so fiber and cable, absolutely. Lots of things that we can do to continue to keep up. And at Corning, innovation is really key to our driving principles, our values. And the way we think about it is in terms of kind of key technology vectors that are driving a lot of activity.
Okay.
And so right now we've really identified four of those that really drive a lot of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all about network scalability. It's about density. It's about ease of installation and use. And it's about sustainability. And if you look out on the floor today, I think you'll see those four trends in most of what people are exhibiting and talking about, all the different things, and what you just talked about in terms of driving more bandwidth, more need to be able to carry more information faster and farther. And then additionally, you start to see things like security and latency.
Mm-hmm.
Pop up is becoming more and more important. And I think that there's a lot we can do from both fiber and cable, and happy to talk through that a little bit in terms of what we've been doing recently.
Yeah, that'd be great. We can start with some recent innovations or announcements that you want to highlight, from that you're talking about here at the show. And then I'm curious about a kind of a persistent trend I've noticed at this show is everyone talking about moving data centers farther and farther apart.
Yep.
For power grid reasons.
Yep.
And how does that change? To me, that sounds like that's going to put more, like inside the data center, you can always add more fiber, seems like. But outside the data center, it seems like there's going to be a bit more of a bandwidth constraint with what's in the ground already. So there's going to be some build out that's necessary there.
Yep.
What has to happen for these data centers to be moved farther and farther apart?
And I think that is where both cable density improvements as well as advanced fibers can both come into play.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of enabling either longer distances or enabling you to get more fibers into a much smaller footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And carry that capacity.
So you're kind of
and we can talk
both.
A little bit about both.
Well, let's talk about the distance one. That one is interesting to me. It's also a constant discussion with network operators. What changes in a fiber design or in a product line when you're having to reach longer and longer distances but maintain the same latency loss and that sort of thing?
Yep. So attenuation is obviously really critical.
Glad you knew the word, because I didn't. Yeah.
Also called loss, for those who would like to refer to it that way. But as much as we can do, and you know, we have Corning has a fiber that we launched last year called our EX2500 fiber, which has extremely low attenuation. It's kind of design value is around 0.15 dB per kilometer. Mm-hmm. And it also has a large effective area. And so in cases where that makes sense for customers who are trying to go extremely long distances, it allows you to put more launch power into that fiber from the beginning, okay, which then allows you to go further as well. So kind of the combination of those two, if you're sticking with a traditional silica core fiber, those would be the directions you would want to go in order to enable further and further distances. Okay. We have heard lots of discussions at the show this year about, you know, the hollow core fiber, lots of kind of talk about that. It was discussed in the plenary session, and I think that's still many years away, but okay, that is another way, you know, in the future that companies are starting to look at in terms of how we could drive that latency down and potentially enable some of those longer distances.
What would hollow core fiber, how far away are we on the timeline, and what would that change when that arrives?
There have been trials of very kind of small distances, limited usages. I think we're still, I would call it 5+ years away in okay terms of really having the infrastructure and things in place. So I think people who are designing networks today need to be thinking about other kind of silica glass based solutions for their near term needs, mm-hmm, and then continue to explore, you know, some of these more innovative fiber technologies for, you know, kind of that 5-10 years in the future.
What's the cutting edge of, you know, data center fiber right now on the outside of the data center? We can get to the density part, but what can enable data centers to be built farther apart so they can accommodate the power needs of and the computing needs of AI?
So it would be these ultra low loss type fibers, depending on how far you're trying to go, right? Mm-hmm. So you can drive down attenuation. Corning also prior OFC launched our latest contour fiber, which is a standard single mode fiber, mm-hmm, which is more kind of in line with other single mode fibers that are out there today, but it has low attenuation, it has a better bend performance, and so it also has some characteristics that can enable some longer distances as well as density. So it really depends on that combination that you're looking for in terms of what the right fiber is for your network.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what when folks get into, or when the industry kind of, especially on the data center side, they start building things out on the hyperscalers especially, and actually doing some of the building, because I'm curious as to how far apart they're talking about as well. They're saying, you know, just moving it to different power grids is necessary. I live in Texas, so distance is a concept we struggle with. Is everything so far apart all the time?
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, when they say, you know, it's going to be the next town over, I'm like, well, that could be a long way. So I'm curious how today's technology could enable it, because that's what it will have to start with, of course. Inside the data center, like you said, density is a key. They're having to, you know, to cut down the latency between clusters of servers. You know, we have to cram as much fiber in there. How are Corning's cable designs sort of evident in those applications?
Yep. I'm going to start with the fiber just because it's really kind of the key enabler. And I'm going to start with that contour fiber that I just talked about. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, traditionally, telecom fibers have been 242 micron diameter. They've had a 9.2 mode field, and they've been designed with varying levels of attenuation. But at least recently, you've been able to get attenuation levels of kind of a 0.32, 0.18 at 1310 and 1550, which are really kind of the primary wavelengths that people pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the keys to going smaller is obviously to make a smaller fiber, mm-hmm, and to increase your density. And so what we've seen in the past 10 years is people starting to introduce lower OD, more bend insensitive fibers.
Okay.
And those have been able to allow some of the smaller cables that we've started to see in data center environments. I think the challenge with what we've seen so far is those smaller OD bend insensitive fibers have traditionally come with some trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those trade-offs is mode field, right? Instead of that 9.2 mode field that people have been deploying for 40 years, a lot of them have gone to an 8.6 mode field, which improves the bend performance. But what that means is if I've got a 9.2 spot size of light and I'm trying to now connect that into an 8.6 spot size, I'm going to lose a little bit along the outside, right? And it can cause some issues with an OTDR trace and just generally create some additional work.
Okay.
And so that's been one trade-off. And then the other is a lot of the lower OD fibers, bend insensitive, have about 10% higher attenuation than that 3218 I talked about. And, you know, in talking to a lot of our network operators, they love that lower attenuation. It allows them to go further. They're really taking advantage of that. And so as much as they want density, they've been unwilling to make that trade-off.
Oh, okay.
And so I think those things are what, you know, low OD bend insensitive fibers have been out for 10 years with kind of limited adoption. People have used them where they really needed to, but it's been kind of limited.
Okay.
And so I think the key thing with this contour fiber is we've overcome that.
Okay.
Right. And so we're able to offer a low OD bend insensitive fiber that keeps that 9.2 mode field. So you don't have to worry about that. And it's also available with that low attenuation. And so I think that can be a real key to unlocking these smaller, denser cables that don't have trade-offs associated with them.
Right. Because back to the trade-offs, that's when you're going to be having to apply more processing to correct the signal somewhere along the way, right?
Or just extra measurements. You know, some people, if it doesn't look right from one direction, then they'll have to set up and measure from the other direction.
Okay.
And then you do some averaging. Like, it just, it creates additional work and more time to explain. And so if you can avoid all that, then it's better.
Right. Right? Yeah. Because they've got the tool set and the sort of workflow built around the status quo. So they, I know how carriers are.
They,
they're very much like, they're like building roads.
Yep.
You know, it's like they want to kind of build the, you know, using the same methodology that they have in the past. So,
so then getting to your, I started with the fiber, but I want to come back to where you were going with the cable,
too.
Right?
Yeah,
so but I start with the fiber because it's really the key to unlock those smaller cable distances, right? And so really three things that are important. The lower OD is kind of the most obvious one. If I was 242 and now I'm 190, I can make my cable smaller. Like, I think everyone understands that. The second one is the better macro bend performance also gives you better micro bend performance, which are these tiny little perturbations that can happen to the fiber that can cause attenuation. And why that matters, maybe not so much in a data center, but in other, you know, network scenarios, is in a traditional cable, when you're subjected to cold temperatures, the jacket shrinks.
Okay.
The fiber does not.
Right.
So the fiber needs somewhere to go. So when we design those cables, we design in a certain amount of free space that allows those fibers to go somewhere when the jacket shrinks. So, because otherwise it's going to bump into other things in the jacket and create those microbends and create attenuation that nobody likes.
Right.
With contour being more microbend insensitive, I can now allow it to bump into some of those things in the cable and not create too much attenuation. And so that's another way that I can now shrink that cable and make it smaller.
Okay.
And then the third is with that fiber, we're now putting it into a flexible ribbon.
Okay.
So traditionally, you know, most people know ribbons have been a kind of a fixed stack, pretty rigid, only bend in one direction, not a lot of flexibility there when you're thinking about how you put them into a cable.
Right.
So with these flexible ribbons, again, because they move around a lot more, you're now also able to shrink down. So those three things are really the key ingredients to being able to make those cables a lot smaller.
Okay. And that means that they can, so then they can add more cables per rack or per, you know.
Correct. So you can fit more fibers in the same space, or you can shrink down the space that you need to put those fibers into, right? And maybe not, that one's probably not so applicable in a data center, but if you think about people that are, you know, putting fibers into ducts and all the installation costs and everything else, if I only want a certain number of fibers and I can now put them into a smaller space, I can really help with my installation costs because I'm making a smaller hole. That cable is going to be lighter. It's going to be smaller. I can fit more on a reel. It's going to be more pliable, you know, and so really depends on how you want to use it, but it really unlocks either of those opportunities.
Okay. How does, you know, are you all seeing any challenges in the supply chain with either with data center applications or the build out for fiber to the home, you know, because there's a great effort being made to spur more fiber builds across the U.S. The government's still going through the BEAD funding and other mechanisms. Is that how is that affecting the supply to customers?
I think for the most case, we're in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of discussion, I don't know, 18 months or 2 years ago about long lead times and really some challenges in our industry coming out of COVID and just with all the macroeconomic things that were going on, it was a bit challenging. But I think we've been able to work through all that. And, you know, currently I wouldn't say that lead times are really an issue, and we're prepared for this growth that we're seeing coming our way with both BEAD and the AI stuff that you were talking about.
Yeah, it's all kind of hitting at the same time. That's why I was kind of curious. It's a good business to be in. What else? You know, the other kind of big theme that people are talking about at the show and just in general in optical networking circles is about the energy requirements, because they're as they're wanting to do higher powered computing, lower latency, move it closer to the source or to the use case. They're wanting to use less energy, because everybody has to have everything all at once. But they want the lower energy. In what ways can fiber design, accommodate using less power at the, either at the source of transmission or just data applications in general?
I would say one example of that is multi-mode fiber. Mm-hmm. So single mode fiber has much more information carrying capacity than multi-mode fiber. It always has and always will.
Right.
But in cases where multi-mode fiber can be used, and there's still quite a few of those, it is actually a less total overall cost to the solution, and it also consumes less power. The transceivers that you use with multimode are just more power efficient, right?
Okay.
And so I think continuing to find opportunities to extend the life of multimode where it makes sense, I think is one way that we can. Last fall, we announced a couple new multimode fibers that are specifically designed for bi-day applications for 100 gig per lane that allow you to extend those distances even further. So to continue to make sure multimode remains kind of the relevant power efficient solution.
Okay. Any specific products or specific technologies you were interested in sort of banging the drum about here at OFC or specific to OFC, or are you here just in a capacity to learn and talk to customers and investors?
For me, it's mostly about learning and talking to customers. Corning's been part of OFC since its inception.
Yep.
So it's a really important conference for us. It's, being on the floor and talking to people, it's always great to hear what your customers are saying directly and what people are interested in, seeing all the different topics and where the discussions are going and kind of bouncing them against those technology vectors and seeing if there's anything new that we really need to keep an eye on going forward.
Has anyone asked for something you're particularly vexing yet?
Not yet.
Okay, good.
But I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. But I have to ask you about before we go. We're just about out of time, but I have to ask you about one of your previous job titles. You were a heavy-duty business director for Corning Environmental Technologies. Is that to imply that all the other business directors were just not as robust or as strong?
Yeah. No, it's some of our titles, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, need a lot of work.
Yeah.
Heavy duty really just refers to big trucks.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
So,
yeah.
It was basically emissions control products for 18 wheelers versus emission control products. Late duty would be a car. So that's the aspect. But I'm going to take feedback to Corning on how to work on our titles.
I have to, just because they're delightful and amusing, I have to keep bringing them up. But yeah, I kind of knew that. I was just making sure, verifying. Well, Sharon, thanks so much for taking the time to explain all of this to an editor who's just one cup of coffee shy from understanding most of it. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.